Welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
The subject of our study today on the Beacon broadcast is the love of God, and particularly the purpose of God's love, which is the last statement in the text that we are examining, namely 1 John 4:9. And this statement about the love of God is found in a larger section about love, which is primarily about the believer's love for others. But to show us what godly love looks like, to give us an illustration of godly love, to give us an example of godly love so that we can learn from it and pattern our exercise of love after it, we have this statement in verse 9, early in this extended section on the love which we are to have toward one another, that tells us about the love of God. And it says, "In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him." And so we have in this text a revelation of God's love. It was revealed, it has been revealed to us. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, or revealed to us. We have, secondly, the demonstration of God's love, that God would send His only begotten Son into the world. That's the demonstration of God's love. It's an incredible demonstration of God's love. It is an over-the-top demonstration of God's love. But finally, we have the purpose of God's love in the last part of this verse, namely, that we might live through Him. That's the purpose. And that's the part of the text that we're going to be looking at today. We're glad that you have been able to join us on this Friday, October 12. We are grateful, so very, very grateful for those radio listeners whose financial gifts enable us to teach God's Word on this station. The purpose of God's love, that we might live through Him. That we might live, that's the first part of the statement of purpose, and live through Him is the second part of the statement of this purpose. So let's take the two parts of this statement one by one. The purpose of God's love is that we might live. In other words, the purpose of God's love is that He might be able, or should I, able I guess is the right term, to grant life. In fact, we could put it this way, that He might be enabled to raise the dead. Now, when I say able, I don't mean to suggest that there was anything missing in God's power, in His might, in His omnipotence that would have in any way hindered Him from doing this, but I'm talking about the exercise of justice. You have to take all of God's attributes together, and it's not easy for us to hold them all together in our minds and to coordinate them all together in our thinking and to integrate them all together in a proper, full-orbed understanding of God and of His ways. So in this case, when I'm talking about God being able to give us life, being able to raise us from the dead, there's no question that He has the power. He who said, "Let there be light," and there was light. He who spoke, and millions of bodies in space came into existence out of nothing. It's incredible. Absolutely incredible. In one way, I can understand why people incline themselves towards evolution, because the creative act of God, described by the Bible, that brought this universe into existence is beyond comprehension. But the only problem is that the concept of evolution, when you look at that, is even more improbable. There really is no explanation for what you have in the universe except a God of the kind, of the character, of the nature that is described for us in the Bible. A God of such wisdom who can design all of this, a God of such power who can bring it all into existence with a statement, with the word of his mouth. He can speak the worlds into existence. And a God of that power certainly has no difficulty raising a dead sinner to life. But the question is not, does he have the raw power, if I can use it in that phraseology, does he have the raw power to do it? The question is, can he do it without damaging his own righteousness, his own holiness, his own inflexible justice? To make the statement, God can do anything, is actually not a true statement. To make that statement true, you have to define it. You have to circumscribe it. You have to say God can do anything in keeping with his character. In other words, to give an example, can God lie? The answer is no. The Bible says God who cannot lie. So God cannot do everything because God cannot lie. That's something he cannot do. That is against his holy nature. He is the thrice holy God. He cannot tell a lie. That should be a great encouragement to us. What wonderful comfort that brings, to realize that everything that God has revealed to us, what he has given to us, what he has spoken to us, what he has communicated to us, is absolutely true, because God is incapable of telling a lie. He can't do that. Now, sometimes people, in trying to make fun of God and to raise doubts about him, will raise questions like, well, if God can do anything, let me ask you, can he make a rock bigger than, or so big that he can't pick it up? Can he make a mountain big, so big that he can't lift it? Well, that is nonsensical question, because there is no limit on his power. Can he do that? No, he can't, because he has the power to lift any mountain, any mass. Again, look at this universe that he has created. He created it all with the word of his power. He can obliterate it the same way. All he has to do is speak the word, and it's all gone. He can move things however he wants to. There's no limit on his power, except the limit that is related to his character. And so the question is, how can a just and holy God grant life to sinners? And this text tells us how. In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. That's how God was able to do it, by giving his own Son as a payment. The theological term is propitiation, as a satisfactory payment for our sins. Sins, therefore, having been dealt with, God can now grant life. And God does do that. The Holy Spirit of God generates life, even as the Holy Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters and brought the details of the creation of the world to pass, as described in Genesis chapter 1. So the Holy Spirit of God generates the life that brings dead sinners to life, but the Son provides the basis to righteously proceed, the basis upon which the Holy Spirit can righteously grant life. It requires Christ's death as a propitiation for our sins. He had to die in order for us to live. And that's what this is telling us about the love of God. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. And so the purpose of God's love is that we might live through Him. The sustaining of that life is through Him, that we might live through Him. He established the basis, He removed the barrier, but He also nourishes the life that He has created. He established the basis for granting us life by sending His Son. He removed the barrier to granting us life by removing our sins through the propitiatory atonement of Jesus Christ upon the cross. But the life that He has granted must be sustained, it must be nourished by Him. Think of the head-body illustration. Our head keeps the other functions of our body operating properly. It directs, it organizes, it sends signals to all of the organs of our body to function the way they ought to function. And when we start having difficulties with our brain function, then we often start having difficulties with other functions in our body because our brain is not sending the right signals to sustain the life. And in a similar fashion, Christ is the head of the body, which is the church, of which we are all members, and we have to be joined to Him, also to one another, but for our purposes in this text, we have to be joined to Him to receive constant infusions of His life into us to sustain our life. He nourishes our new life. And now, having been joined to Christ in living union, our life is sustained, that we might live through Him. And we now have the life of Christ flowing through us. And so it's dependent, and it's apparent, isn't it, that we're not only dependent upon God to create that life, but we're dependent upon God to sustain that life that we call the new life, the new birth, the new man, the new creature, various things that it is called. And we are totally dependent upon God for it, that we might live through Him. Dear friends, the message is clear. We must trust Christ or perish. There's no other way. We are dead. We are dead, and we are headed to eternal death, eternal separation from God. And there's only one way to be rescued from that, and that is that God will grant us life, and that life must come through Him, and that life must be sustained by Him. And having received that, dear friend, if you are one who can say, yes, by God's marvelous grace, I have been born again, I have been given life by God, then why would you ever doubt the love of God? That's what brought all this about. In this, the love of God is manifested toward us, that God would send His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Dear believer in Jesus Christ, how can you doubt His love for you? Unbeliever who has not yet come to Christ, how can you question the love of God? You say, well, if God really is love, then this and then that and not this and not that. Oh, dear friend, just look at Calvary. That'll straighten it all out. And seeing Calvary, how can you doubt the reality of God's love? But the greatest tragedy of all is to see this, at least to some degree, and to fail to embrace such love for yourself. Please, please don't make that fatal mistake. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.